Good morning.
Good morning.
On this third Sunday after Pentecost, we would like to welcome all of you who have gathered here for worship, and we pray that the Lord will fill us with his Spirit, that he will bless our time that we spend together here in worship, that we also might go forth and serve him as we go out into the world. As far as announcements, most everything, I believe, is in the bulletin. I realize this is a time of transition as we are in that first Sunday after Pastor Rockroar's retirement, but the fact is that the ministry of the Lord and the work of the church continue on in this place, and we certainly pray for his blessings upon you. A few announcements, a reminder that Vacation Bible School is July 14th to the 18th, and flyers and registration forms are available in the narthex. There's a phone number in there also if you're in need of pastoral care or a hospital visit. That'd be from the St. Paul pastors at their office. I believe that all the other announcements are included, unless you know of anything else that needs to be said at this time. If not, we will begin our worship as we sing hymn 461, I Know That My Redeemer Lives, and we'll sing verses 1 through 4 and 7 and 8.
I know that my save
For our worship today, we'll be following the order of matins on page 119 in the hymnal or printed in your bulletin. O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ. Alleluia.
Blessed be God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O come, let us worship Him. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. The deep places of the earth are in His hand. The strength of the hills is pasture and the sheep of His hand. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O come, let us worship Him.
And we join in the responsive speaking of Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord.
O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy.
If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared.
I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in His word I hope.
My soul waits for the Lord, more than the watchman for the morning. More than the watchman for the morning.
O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with Him is plentiful redemption.
And He will redeem Israel from all his iniquities.
The Old Testament reading from Genesis chapter 3, beginning with the 8th verse. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all the beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from 2 Corinthians chapters 4 and 5. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, "I believed, and so I spoke." We also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So do not lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are not seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. For we know that if the tent which is our heavenly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In honor of our Lord Jesus Christ, please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel, which also serves as the text for our meditation today, from the Gospel according to St. Mark, the 3rd chapter. Then Jesus went home, and the crowd gathered again, so that they could not even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, "He's out of his mind." And when the scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, "He is possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons, he casts out the demons." And he called them to him and said to them in parables, "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but is coming to an end. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. Then indeed he may plunder his house. Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man, and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness. but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, he has an unclean spirit. And his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. And he answered them, who are my mother and my brothers? And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your worm is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
We'll join in making confession of our Christian faith as we speak together the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Please be seated. This is the portion of the service that has been set aside for the children's message. I'd like to have them come and join me. Tell you what, let's just sit right here. How are you today?
Good.
Oh, I'm glad to hear it, and I'm sure glad to see you. Today I brought along something, maybe you've seen it before. But today we want to talk about family. As we listen to our Bible reading, we hear talking about Jesus and his mother and his brothers and his family. Well, have you ever seen one of these before?
No.
Okay, well, let's say this is God's family. And we are a part of God's family, right?
Yeah.
He made us his own when we were baptized. He really made us a part of his family. Well, inside of here are a whole bunch of
blocks.
And then around here, there's all kinds of shapes. Now, are these all the same?
Mm-hmm.
No. No, they're not. I was going to say, does that look like that? No. Does this one look like this one?
No.
No, it doesn't. Do we look the same?
No.
In fact, everybody out there, we all look different. Some people are tall, some people are short, some people are old, some people are young, some people have gray hair. Some people have blonde hair. But now, let's say if I want to put this in here, I want this person to be part of God's family. No. What do we need?
There.
Well, show me. That one goes in there. Well, so if that one went in there, then this one must go in there too, right?
No.
No, it doesn't. Okay. Can you find the places for all the others?
Yes.
Yes.
Where's the cross? Where's the cross?
I don't know. Maybe that one got left out. We certainly don't want to leave out the cross, because that cross makes us think of Jesus and everything that he did for us. You got two more.
Well, three more.
Three more.
Where is it? I know you put it in there.
Three more.
I know you put it in there. I don't think the box like us.
This one go.
Maybe right there. Good job. You got them all in. All of those pieces were different. But yet, they all had a place in here. And we are all different, but yet we all have a place in God's family. He loves us, and he sent Jesus to die for us. But that's not sad, because Jesus also rose from the dead, and he is alive, and he is with us forever. And so we give thanks to God for making us a part of his family and loving us. And even though we're different, we're all different, there's still a place for each of us. That's all for this morning. Thanks for coming up. We will continue our worship now as we sing hymn 850, God of Grace and God of Glory.
God of grace and God of glory, on your people pour your power. Crown your ancient church's story, bring its bud to glorious flower. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the facing of this hour. For the facing of this hour. Lo, the host of evil round us scorn the Christ, assail his ways. From the fears that long have bound us, free our hearts to faith and praise. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the living of these days. For the living of these days. Cure your children's warring madness, bend our pride to your control. Shame our wanton selfish gladness, rich in things and poor in soul. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, lest we miss your kingdom's goal. Lest we miss your kingdom's goal. Save us from weak resignation to the evils we deplore. Let the gift of your salvation be our glory evermore. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, serving you whom we adore, serving you whom we adore.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Our text, the gospel lesson, read a few moments ago. There's a story about a country preacher who announced that the following Sunday he was going to preach on the story of Noah and the ark. And he gave the scriptural reference for the congregation to read ahead of time. However, a couple of mischievous boys in the church noticed something interesting about the placement of the story of Noah in the Bible. And so they slipped into the church and they glued two pages of that large Bible in the pulpit together. So on the following Sunday, the preacher got up to read his text. He was reading, of course, from the King James Version of the Bible. Noah took unto himself a wife, he began, and she was, and he paused for a moment as he turned the page to continue, she was 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Billy paused. He scratched his head, turned the page back and read it silently, turned the page and read again. She was 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. He still didn't realize the two pages of the Bible had been glued together. So finally he looked up at the congregation and said, "You know, I've been reading this old Bible for nigh on 50 years. But there are still some things that are hard to believe." Well, there are some things in the Bible that do make you scratch your head. A good example might be the narrative that we have today in Mark 3 concerning Jesus' uncertain relationship with his family. I mean, we read in verse 20, "Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat." Now listen to this, and remember, Mark is talking about Jesus. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, "He's out of his mind." Now think about it. If you were a writer of a gospel, and you were trying to convince people that Jesus is the Messiah, why in the world would you include the notion that at the very beginning of his ministry, Jesus' own family had questions about his sanity? Well, Matthew and Luke, they don't mention this. However, the writer of the Gospel of John confesses, "For even his own brothers did not believe in him." Now, saying that they didn't believe in him, that sounds a whole lot better than saying that they thought that he was out of his mind. But it's jarring to think that Jesus' own family was questioning whether he was out of his mind. So why would Mark include it? Well, there are some possibilities that come to mind. First of all, Mark mentions it because it really happened. I mean, there are many cynical people today who think that a lot of things in the Bible were made up by the writers of Scripture. And if that's the case, then those writers did a pretty poor job of it. I mean, if there was some kind of a conspiracy on the part of early Christian historians to say things about Christ that were not so, don't you think that they would have tried to reconcile their various stories? I mean, even an event that's as entirely critical to the gospel message as the story of Jesus' resurrection is told from several different points of view. I mean, don't you think that if they were trying to fabricate the story that is the linchpin for all that's unique about the Christian faith, don't you think that they would have ironed out the wrinkles, made the narrative flow seamlessly, so that no one would ever question its authenticity? Instead, that story is preserved in a jumble of eyewitness testimonies, and they agree only on the most important fact, and that is that Christ was certainly resurrected from the grave. But yet they give different accounts of how that truth was discovered. Let's face it, we live in a time of fake news and spin. Perpetrated by slick communicators who make sure that they get their narrative straight and that they're in agreement with others who are spinning that same story. Sometimes you can flip from 3 to 4 different stations, and they and the commentators are using almost word for word the same thing to get their story across. But the fact is that the writers of the Old and New Testament were simple folk who simply reported what they had seen and what they had heard. They weren't trying to get the facts to fit their biases, but they were reporting on facts as they truly perceived them. So the first reason that Mark tells us about Jesus' problems with his family is that they really happened. I mean, after all, think about it. Jesus' teachings were hardly orthodox. And if he simply taught what the other rabbis were teaching, I mean, why would he bother to come into the world in the first place? See, even those who loved him thought that his teachings were a little extreme. In our text, we have Jesus' mother and brothers come looking for him. "Who are my mother and brothers?" he asked. And then he looked at those who were seated in a circle around him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." I mean, can you imagine maybe that Jesus' family might have taken some of his teachings personally? I mean, how would you feel if you were in their place? I mean, all families have issues. There are no perfect families. But secondly, another reason that Mark may have mentioned the conflict between Jesus and his family maybe is to set the stage for what happened to his family in the aftermath of Christ's crucifixion and resurrection. According to Mark 6:3 and Matthew 13, Jesus had 4 brothers, James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. He also had sisters, but we don't know their names or how many there were of them. We do not know what was the real source of their unhappiness with Jesus. But we do know that sometimes it's those who are the closest to us who have the greatest difficulty in seeing our worth. And that may also be true in your family. I mean, I wonder if Mary and Joseph ever told Jesus' siblings the story of Christmas, told them of the angel's visitation, or the wise men, or about the angels singing in the heavens. Perhaps they decided that it would only cause confusion in the minds of the other children. But in any case, the fact is that at this point, his siblings did not immediately embrace the idea that Jesus was the Messiah, that he was the one for whom Israel had been waiting for hundreds of years. But that makes it even more thrilling to read in Acts chapter 1 that on the day that Christ ascended to be with his Father, that the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. And those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. But now listen to the next verse, where it says, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Do you see, something had obviously happened in this family, something that made them change their minds about his teaching. In fact, later on, we learn that these same brothers became quite important in the history of the early church. According to tradition, Jesus' brother James was the leader of the church in Jerusalem and the author of the book of James. His brother Jude is credited with writing the book by the same name in the New Testament, although that is a matter of controversy. But you think about it, what a wonderful turn of events. That the same family members who had earlier thought that he was out of his mind had become a part of the family of faith. Why? Because it really did all happen. Jesus' amazing but unorthodox ministry, the strife with his family, his crucifixion by the religious authorities, and most important, his resurrection from the grave. It all really happened. Those early Christian writers, they didn't try to get their stories straight. This wasn't fake news. Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is risen from the grave. If you doubt it, ask any member of his family. Jesus is risen from the grave. And we give thanks that through the working of his Holy Spirit, through his word, that God has brought us to see, to know, to recognize Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And he's given us that wonderful joy of being a part of his family and of joining together with other members of his family and given the task to carry his word so that others may also come to know him as Lord and Savior. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, may it keep our hearts and minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen. We rise and continue our worship with the singing of the Te Deum.
We praise you, O God. We acknowledge you to be the Lord. All the earth now worships you, the Father everlasting. To you all angels cry aloud, the heavens and all the powers therein. To you, cherubim and seraphim, continually do cry. Holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of the majesty of your glory. The glorious company of the apostles praise you. Fellowship of the prophets praise you. The noble army of martyrs praise you. The holy church throughout all the world does.
infinite majesty, your adorable, true, and only Son. Also the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. You are the King of glory, O Christ. You are the everlasting Son of the Father. When you took upon yourself to deliver man, you humbled yourself to be born of a virgin. When you had overcome the sharpness of death, you opened the kingdom to all believers. You sit at the right hand of God in the glory of the Father. We believe that you will come to be our judge. We therefore pray you to help your servants, whom you have redeemed with your precious blood. Make them to be numbered with your saints in the glory everlasting. O Lord, save your people and bless your heritage. Govern them and lift them up forever. Day by day we magnify you, and we worship your name forever and ever. Grant, O Lord, to keep us this day without sin. O Lord, have mercy upon us, have mercy upon us. O Lord, let your mercy be upon us, as our trust is in you. O Lord, in you have I trusted, let me never be
gracious God, receive these offerings that we bring this day. We return but a portion of the blessing that you have given to us. And Lord, we pray that you make them useful for the work of your church, that your word might be proclaimed, and that through that word your Spirit might work to bring others to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Would you please be seated? At this time, I ask that the members of the HARP mission team that you would please come forward. Christian sisters and brother, Taylor, Deborah, Lynn, and Eric, servants in Christ, you stand before this Christian community ready to embark as Christ's servants. Before you go to serve with the helping Appalachian Rural People Mission in Caldwell, Ohio, hear the word of the Lord concerning service. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all." The Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ."
To the Christians at Rome, Paul exclaimed, "Love must be completely sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, honor one another above yourself,
you wish to serve so that others may see Christ's love in you?
Yes, we go to serve as Christ served us and gave his life for all.
Will you, to the best of your ability and with God's help, be faithful in your calling and loving toward those called to serve you?
Yes, we will go to serve the Lord and each other.
This being your pledge, we send you out to serve. Remember that the Lord will give you as a reward what he has kept for his people. For Christ is the real master you serve. He will bear you up on his wings and guide you on your way. He will be with you. Go and serve in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for these servants. Keep them safe from all harm and danger. Grant them your spirit and enable them to help your kingdom grow.
Amen.
Go with the blessing of the Lord. Would you please rise for prayer? In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the promised offspring, Jesus Christ, whose death has crushed Satan's head forever, let us give thanks to the Lord, and that as God received the meager confessions of our first parents for the sake of his grace, so he would forgive our sins and lead us forward in hope. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the church, her preachers, all servants who work, the generous who give, and all who suffer with patience, that made brothers and fellow heirs of Christ Jesus by his incarnation and suffering for our sake, we may always do the will of God, and so be true and faithful members of the household of God. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For courage, that as we believe, so we also would speak of the confidence of Christ's resurrection, that we would be emboldened to confess this Christian faith from a lively conscience, and that for Christ's sake, grace may extend to more and more people for the glory of God. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our nation and its government, that as no kingdom or house divided can ever stand, God would frustrate the destructive work of Satan and unite our leaders and our people for the common good. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That God would lead us to place our true hope in his eternal kingdom, which is not of this world. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Gracious Lord, we offer our prayers of thanksgiving and praise along with your servant Diane Roars, who celebrates her birthday on the 14th. Gracious God, look upon her with your love. Keep her in your care now and always. And now, Lord, we also pray for all who suffer in this earthly tent. Especially, we remember in our prayers Margaret Hesterman and Charlotte Rose Brock, Brenetta Sainholz and Bill Raymond, Gary Rose Brock and Bryston Bidlack, Joe DiFilippo, Kim Carricker, Andrew Wright, Mary Ellen Federke, Steve Hurst, Brandy Noggle, Maverick Brees, Heather Westrick, Gary Wessel, Mark Lang, Michael Trerick, Ray Dravis, Lane Good, Dave Meyer, Randy Norden and Chelsea Yoder, Norma Giffey and Todd Bainfeld, Sandy Feltz and Pat Burkholder, and Justin Nape. Lord, we remember these and all of your servants, and we pray that fixing their eyes beyond the transient to things unseen, that they would not lose heart, and that God in his eternal kingdom would prepare them through this slight momentary affliction for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, when at last we are raised with Christ and brought into his presence. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
As Satan once overcame our first parents through the eating of the tree's fruit, so Christ would overcome the devil among us here by the fruit of his cross, his body and blood given and shed for us, for the forgiveness of sins. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
What was lost in paradise has been regained by the conquering wounds of your Son, crucified and raised again. In him we are restored as your children and made bold to ask for every need. Hear us for his sake and in his name, even Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
And we join together in praying, Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
We also pray the collect for the week. Almighty and eternal God, your Son, Jesus, triumphed over the prince of demons and freed us from bondage to sin. Help us to stand firm against every assault of Satan and enable us always to do your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
And the morning prayer. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Take with you now the blessing of the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all.
Amen.
You remain standing as we sing hymn 424, O Christ, you walk the road.
O Christ, you walked the road. Our wandering feet must go. You faced with us temptation's power and fought our ancient foe. No bread of earth alone can fill our hungering hearts. Lord, help us seek your living word, the food your grace imparts. No blinding sign we ask, no wonder from above. Lord, help us place our trust alone in your unswerving love. When lures of easy gain with
brightly shine. Lord, help us seek your kingdom first, our wills with yours align. O Christ, you walked the road, our wandering feet must go. Stay with us through temptations our to fight our ancient foe.